Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Greetings, Grapple fans, and welcome to episode 119 of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the AI podcast channel. As usual, it is myself, Andy Wales, right here with the man of a million podcasts, however many it is now, my audio tag team partner, of course, Mr. Guy Drinkle. How are we doing, Guy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I imagine it's going to be a short podcast. I have time constraints and there's not much to talk about.
Yeah, time constraints and it's a pretty pants pay-per-view coming up. So before we start breaking down the card of Fastlane, it is Fastlane. Yes, it's definitely Fastlane. It's that momentous. I can never remember what it's actually called.
It's not No Way Out, is it?
No, I was looking for Fastlane and I didn't get the results I was looking for. Before we start getting into that, a couple of little notes on WWE television. It's been announced that joining DX in this year's Hall of Fame ceremony will be Torrey Wilson and the Honky Tonk Man. So I don't know whether you are that familiar with the Honky Tonk Man. I kind of liked his gimmick. It was fun. I particularly loved the Honkometer. When, what's his face, did it? I can't remember his name now. His name escapes me.
Mouth of the South Bloke, I can't remember his name either.
Oh, he was with him, no. Yeah, the Honkometer was, I can't remember his name. He did the Italian gimmick. He's actually Canadian. I can't think of his name. It's going to bug me. I'm sure we'll get to it. Anyway, and Torrey Wilson, who I've got a feeling, Guy, you might be a little bit more familiar with.
I have many memories about Torrey Wilson, Andy.
How yes. many of them can you share with us, though?
No, but she defined, well, probably the last era of WWE, didn't she, obviously? I don't know, what would you call the successor to Sable or something like that? It was kind of a passing of a torch period, wasn't it, between Sable and Torrey Wilson, and then it kind of moved away to Trish and Lita. But yeah, I mean, Torrey, I mean, it's not the strongest, but I mean, they try to have as many women in there as possible, and China's in there with DX, and you couldn't put her in separately for obvious reasons. And Torrey, she was with the company for a decent amount of times and really defined an era. And I imagine people who are in there mid to early 20s, like me, will remember her for obvious reasons.
Very fondly.
Yes, crossover star.
Can we leave
star.
It at that? Very fondly.
Yeah, she was a crossover star of her own of her own type.
Yes. Yeah, she, obviously, you know, fantastic to look at and all that, but very much of that time. I don't think she would have lasted too long nowadays. Beautiful woman and everything like that, but as far as her in-ring work went, not too good. And thankfully, in terms of the women's division, it has certainly moved on a hell of a lot since then. The Honkometer was, of course, Santino Marella.
Oh, that I thought you meant someone like with him back
No.
Okay.
When Santino Marella was the Intercontinental Champion for like about 3 weeks, and every week he was getting up the Honkometer because the Honky Tonk Man was the champion for some like 64 weeks.
I would have got that. I thought you meant someone who was with him.
Oh, I absolutely loved that little sketch, and they should have kept it going a bit longer. But anyway, Honky Tonk Man, he wasn't great or anything like that, but he was a mid-carder. It was fun. I liked his gimmick, and then he did the whole tag team thing with Greg the Hammer Valentine. So for me, absolutely fine. Have him in the Hall of Fame. He probably deserves to be in there. But I've got to say, at this stage, the Hall of Fame ceremony is one I'm not sure I'll be tuning in for. I'll be looking for something like edited 10-minute highlights.
Yeah, that's one way of going about it. Obviously, there's probably one more big one to go in, which might draw people's attention to it. But yeah, at the minute, I literally only know two of them. And I mean, I saw Tori Wilson at the Royal Rumble, so I'm not that arsed. and DX, I mean, you see them every couple of weeks. So, you know.
Well, and that is the thing. It's it doesn't feel like it's a big shine. You know, you get the shiny thing to look at that you haven't seen so long, and it's great to hear from them and see them. We see them on a regular basis, especially certain Triple H. Who was out there.
Beautiful.
Yeah, nice
segue
into the whole. So remember that SmackDown 1000 episode and that little sort of tense bit they did with Batista? And I thought that was well done, nice little teaser. You had the feeling that we were going to get a payoff somewhere along the line, and that was all thrown into doubt with Batista's schedule and the injury that Triple H had and whatnot. But fast forward to the whole Ric Flair 70th birthday party, and hey, we've got it. So we've now got a couple of 50-year-olds having a fight at WrestleMania, and I've got to say, Guy, I know a lot of people are taken by it, and look, don't get me wrong, I thought that actual segment was done really, really well. The way it was all done, and the fact that Batista didn't need to say an awful lot, I thought it was really, really well put together, very well executed, really good stuff. It's just that I've seen them before so many times, and they're like 50. You know, there's a couple of 50-year-old guys, and it's like, I don't want WrestleMania to be these throwbacks constantly. We need to move on. It needs to be now. We need to be concentrating more of this time on now and the future, not keep throwing ourselves back to guys from who are, you know, either retired, pretty much retired, you know, just making special appearances, or you know, very much part-timers. And above all else, Guy, Batista's face just kind of freaks me out. It's just like, how much work has he had done?
Yeah, he's definitely not the same, is he? He's not the same when he wants
his face isn't the same. Yeah. It's not his face anymore. His face is only about 3 years old.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I agree with everything you said there. But I really still want to watch this match. I like how they developed the story. Obviously, it's only had three segments. Yeah, three segments. And I'm already quite hyped for it, to be honest. And that's quite a weird thing. But yeah, I mean, obviously Dave Batista will have Marvel Endgame coming out, but his bad press with Disney, he probably won't be on the press tour, so I imagine that's why I imagine he'll be definitely free for WrestleMania. And yeah, I'm actually quite looking forward to it, and I definitely agree that you should focus on the here and now. But I think it's good. It'll be a good way of getting casual viewers to actually watch it. When you said Triple H and V Batista, people will think, say my generation, they'll think that's a huge match. And if they obviously don't watch it, it'll attract some viewers to watch it. And I think it'll be a good thing. And the fact that it's only in one match so far, we don't have any of not many, touch wood, other part-timers even rumoured to have a match, apart from Brock Lesnar. but yeah, it's... But yeah, I think the fact that they're kind of putting all the old guard into one match, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, I'm sure you can enjoyed the three segments of them so far as well. But yeah, I think it's a good thing. But obviously, I agree that they should hopefully get focus on the current crop as well.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, WrestleMania runs for so long anyway, but you just know this is going to take up half an hour. You know, this is going to be 30 minutes all in all, because you're going to have the big entrances, and they're probably going to be in there for 20, 25 minutes. And it's like, you know, do we really need to see two 50-year-olds fighting for nearly half an hour? And I just...
Got seven hours to fill, Andy.
It's just... Maybe I'm a bit like a broken record. I know I keep going back to this, but I just... You know, that needs to be shorter, and it needs to be more succinct. It needs to be more on now, making the stars of tomorrow, not constantly harping back to stars of yesteryear.
That's the problem. You know,
yeah. And look, they could do something like that for a show. They could do it for SummerSlam, something like that. It would work for me, but I don't know. It's, hey, maybe I'm in the minority. Hey, get in contact with us at PW_index on Twitter. If you disagree, send me abuse. I don't care. If you agree, hey, get behind me. We'll retweet that as well. Anyway, look, moving on to Fastlane. Actually, looking at the card, you know, guy, it's not too bad, and it should be somewhat enjoyable, even though it feels like a bit of a non-event, because we're just waiting now to really get going for WrestleMania. And something you mentioned before we started, potentially the best match on the night will actually be on the pre-show.
The best match, let's be honest. Yeah.
The Rey Mysterio against Andrade Cien Almas. That should be, you know, really, really good watch.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely should be a good match. We've seen it on TV. And it's just absolutely... It carried SmackDown for a good month or so. I definitely think it'll be probably the match of the night, even just looking at the card. Unfortunately, it will be on the kickoff show, so it'll have like adverts for the pay-per-view that you're actually watching.
In the middle of it.
Yeah, and then it'll probably have an interview with Kofi Kingston halfway through. I'm going to watch it just to see if that happens. But yeah, it's disappointing, of course. I mean, it's not the most stacked card. You see there's a good amount of stupid matches on there. But, I mean, normally you could easily fit that on the pay-per-view somewhere. I mean, there's not many matches you can see going over 20 minutes. And this one, we've seen it even have 10 minutes and be, like, 4 or 5 stars. And that's all you need. But hopefully on the kickoff show they get a decent amount of time, and hopefully it'll be the best match yet. But it doesn't really get the spot it deserves, I suppose.
One match I'm not particularly looking forward to is the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The Usos, who are now champions, defending against The Miz and Shane McMahon. What are you expecting from this, guy? Because I am half expecting the Usos to retain. Some kind of miscommunication, and we see the breakup of Miz and Shane McMahon.
I kind of hope so, but I kind of hope not, because that'll be a match at WrestleMania where I will be either falling asleep or pee break. Yeah, I mean, that's what's expected. I think the only question is which one will turn, and I mean, the obvious one would be Miz, but I mean, just make it even a smidge interesting. I suppose you could do heel Shane McMahon, but I don't care.
I don't care either way. I'm not interested. Full stop.
Have the Usos and hopefully they do.
The Raw Tag Team titles. Now, this is a match that I will be looking forward to watching. We've got the Revival as champions. Yes, the Revival are champions. Taking on the duo of Aleister Black and Ricochet, and also Chad Gable and Bobby Roode. In itself, this should be good, just purely because these guys will put on a good match. But also, Guy, because I think we got some hints of Chad Gable and Bobby Roode becoming heels here. And I think they could be much more entertaining and much more enjoyable if they were allowed to become heels rather than sickly baby faces.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point there. I mean, we've been wanting Roode as a heel. I'm not sure how long you've been in the main roster.
Ever since he turned up on the main roster, basically.
Yeah, let's say 18 months, 2 years. And yeah, he's been a corny face that not got over whatsoever. And the fact that they're turning heel in a tag team that nobody cares about too much. I mean, fair enough, it'll be better for both characters. I mean, Chad Gable, he obviously had a heel run with Shelton Benjamin and probably one of his better runs outside of American Alpha. Yeah, this match, if given the time and it lets the talent actually work, which we haven't seen on TV with the Revival, especially in the last couple of weeks, it could be one of the best matches of the night and probably one of the best tag team matches on a pay-per-view in ages. I think the Revival will retain, because if they take it off them now, it'll just take the fucking piss. But their title reign has been a tad shit, let's be honest. There's been dirt since they won it. But yeah, I think we'll see the Revival kind of win as the other two feud, and then you can kind of build up Ricochet and Aleister Black against Chad Gable. Then the Revival can move on to hopefully not Heavy Machinery.
The women's tag team titles are also on the line. We've got the Boss and Hug Connection, of course, being Bayley and Sasha Banks, taking on Nia Jax and Tamina, who apparently, Guy, yeah, they've got a different name now. They're no longer called the Big Lasses.
So I checked two websites for this. One had them just as Nia Jax and, I almost forgot the other one's name, Tamina. And the site I'm currently using is Cultaholic, and they've got them down as the Samoan Slaughterhouse, which is actually worse than my name. So that is impressive, but we're still calling them the Big Lasses, Andy.
Right, so they're not the slow-mo fallover or anything like that, then?
Slow-mo Samoan machine. The super kick slow-mo machine. Samoan machine.
Yeah, don't really hold up much hope for this.
Yeah, this is going to be bad.
Nia Jax has... I thought she had promise in NXT. I thought they called her up to the main roster too soon. But I thought she showed some potential. She did show some improvements. She needs to work on her facial expressions when she's delivering promos, and the way
and
that
not
she's
injuring people.
Yeah, and this is the thing now, is I think over the last year, I think she's actually got progressively worse and worse. And I don't know what this is, but yeah, it's this clumsiness, hurting people. The matches just look really bad. They just come off really, really bad. It lacks any kind of smoothness at all. And Tamina, gone, Bennett. I think Tamina is the reason that that Alicia Fox has been around so long, because Alicia Fox looks at Tamina and thinks, yeah, I could still become a wrestler. I could still become a wrestler.
I mean, you couldn't make this tag team interesting even if you had The Rock managing them, for God's sake, could you? It's not going to be pretty. It's a shame. I mean, it was the feud we all knew was coming, but it's not the best way to have the first defence of the women's tag team titles. It's going to be a bit boring.
Do you think they'll do a title change just to... to annoy us?
Yeah, that's definitely possible, but if they really want to announce this as an actual new division, you need to... I have no idea who you could do it with, but you need Becky and Bay... I'm not calling them the other name that they've got listed down here, because it's awful. Becky and Bayley, they need someone to work with, and unfortunately, the only... Sasha and Bayley, what did I say? Becky. Yeah, I got distracted. I got distracted by the shitty Boss and Hug Connection there. But they really need to have a wow moment at WrestleMania for this division. But the roster, it's not dead, but I can't really see anyone on the main roster who's worthy of a WrestleMania feud with them. And obviously, I think one of the potential feuds that could ignite this division's... what do they call them? The Flying Dragons or whatever, the Pirate Dragons? Kairi Sane.
Something Pirates, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. It'll come to
was
us.
Was it something like the Flying Pirates something pretty terrible?
Yeah.
But they can work, and it would be, you put them four in a match, and I think it would be, you know, really, really good to watch. You know, Io Shirai and Kairi Sane can both work really well. And I think that they would work really well with Bayley and Sasha as well. So that's the kind of match I'd love to watch. I'd love them to just put that on at WrestleMania. So there you go. Mm. Enjoy.
The NXT's women division would die a quick death after that, though. But yeah, I don't really care about that. I mean, I don't really want to see Tamina and
Nia. The Sky Pirates.
Sky Pirates.
There we go.
Yes. Ding. We're having a good day, Andy.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not that interested in that match. There's another match we're not that interested in. Asuka and Mandy Rose. Here's another. What would you say? Shit show?
Yeah, that's been kind, isn't it?
I'm sorry, but how on earth is Mandy Rose in a women's title match? She's just terrible.
She injured Asuka the other day, didn't she, apparently?
She's not good. And this is just, you know, the Asuka gets the belt and then just gets left. You know, where is the competition? Where's anyone to work with? Unless, obviously, the injury to Ember Moon has kind of forced things. Perhaps we could have had that feud. At least that would have been interesting. But there's literally doesn't seem to be anybody else.
Well, the rumours seem to be Lacey Evans, which is bad. Because she is just Mandy Rose number two. Which, I mean,
oh no, she's definitely a better worker.
But she's not had she's had one match, and that was the Royal Rumble where she screwed up a bit.
She's still a work in progress, but she's certainly better than Mandy Rose. But
she'll probably beat Asuka at WrestleMania though, which is not good.
This is how much
we don't care about this match. We're speculating about WrestleMania.
Yeah, before. Well, so do you. You think they'll keep the belt on Asuka? They have to do.
If Mandy Rose wins, I may just turn it off at that point. Because if Mandy Rose wins, I'm getting a Neville vibe. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, I get your vibe. I get your vibe, and I share it.
It's weird that they don't use Sonya Deville, to be fair, just to fill a bit of time, because we have glossed over a few matches that we don't care about. But I mean, you got Sonya Deville there. I'm sure it's because Mandy will get a better reaction from the crowd for obvious reasons.
Vince just prefers to watch Mandy rather than Sonya.
Yeah, but I mean, Sonya's actually got quite a bit of potential. Off that, the back of that Elimination Chamber performance offer as well, it would have been a match that could have been good, I suppose.
Yeah, there's also Nikki Cross. I mean, obviously she's...
Oh God, where's she gone? She's with Sanity now.
Yeah, Sanity I don't know where they are. They've obviously got lost when they turned up to TV because... Oh, what on earth? Anyway, look, let's put that behind us. And The Shield are going to get back together. Now, I've got to be honest, I know Roman Reigns was making, you know, was coming back, and we haven't even mentioned that because I thought we'd save it for this bit. Obviously came back to announce that he's in remission, which is tremendous news. That was a real feel-good segment. You know, lots of emotion, great pop from the crowd. And I didn't expect to see him back in the ring just yet. I thought he was, you know, we were getting that appearance and maybe a few weeks down the line, maybe something towards him coming back. So I'm a little surprised he's coming straight back into the ring. So it's The Shield getting back together for one last time, because obviously, as we all know, Dean Ambrose is leaving. So I guess they've seen this as their last chance to cash in for them having a match. And they're taking on Drew McIntyre and the Charisma Vacuum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Is that now Baron Corbin and Lashley's tag team now? The charisma.
Baron Corbin and Boring Lashley.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Get Drew away from these.
Yeah,
but
please.
This is just for us to enjoy the Shield for the last time, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it is. It's a real test of trying to make the Shield, like, not boring, putting them with the two most boring people ever, who have ruined many, 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 many entertaining people.
So many segments, many yes. shows,
yeah, it's a
many
decision.
Other wrestlers.
It's a brave decision putting Roman's comeback with them. We need to think of a special name for that trio. I mean, there must be a legion of something that we could think of.
Legion of Gloom.
Well, yes, that's a good one. That is a good one. We're sticking with that. Nothing's topping Big Lashes, I'm afraid. The Legion of Gloom. Yeah. I mean, I was going to say there's only two outcomes here, and obviously, no shit. But I think they'll either be a Shield clear win, or they'll set up Dean Ambrose v. Roman Reigns for WrestleMania. That's the only way I'm feeling about this match.
That's an interesting show.
Yeah, I think it was today who put in the group the other day, and we were wondering what Roman would be doing for WrestleMania, but I mean, other than fighting one of these boring twats, that's the only one that makes sense for me. And we've never really seen Ambrose v. Reigns, have we? Or not that I can remember.
No, that's actually, you know what, that could be a really good shout. That it could be an interesting one. So the crowd get their pop, they get to see the Shield. And then we maybe get to that whole Ambrose thing, whatnot. I mean, it would be interesting, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. Because I think, you know, Dean Ambrose has just been used as cannon fodder at the moment. Obviously, he's on his way out. So they're going to, you know, take his character down a notch or two before he goes off and leaves the company. I still do think we're going to get at WrestleMania, we're going to get the Shield curtain call. I do think we're going to get that.
If that happens, I reckon they could build Roman into an IC title match, make it even more special. Unless they do Dean and Reigns as the tag team via the Revival,
or they could be really, really brave and really innovative. And throw us a complete shocker. And after we've seen the Shield back together, we get we don't have a Roman Reigns match at WrestleMania, but we have Seth Rollins win, and then we have Roman Reigns come out and turn on Seth Rollins.
I see.
Now that, you know, that would just blow the roof off the place, I think.
That.
Pretty interesting.
That would probably be the best ending to a Mania possible. You get the celebration. Well, it wouldn't be. If that happened, it'd have to be the ending. Then you couldn't have the women as the ending, I suppose. But if that was the case, that'd be fantastic. So I'd be quite happy with that. I like that. I like that, actually.
It's good that we can throw these things out there.
Yeah, you got me thinking. Even put him in the shitty Battle Royale at the start, then he could still do that, can't he?
Oh, God, no.
Get eyes on the pre-show.
So, pretty much goes without saying, I think, that the Shield are going over here.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
And hopefully Drew batters the other two, and then we never have to see him with them two again.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely needs to get away from them two. It's really not good for him. Really not good for him. They're just bad for anyone they're associated with, whether they're alongside them or taking them on. They just bring it down. They really bring it down.
I mean, it'd be great if you could whack them on main event or something so I'd never have to see them again.
Put them on 205 Live.
Oh, God, no. The Cruiserweight division suffered enough.
Bobby Lashley, weighing 204 and 1.5 pounds.
204 and an extra 100 pounds. I think this match will be good, but the build-up to it, I know it's been rushed, but it's been shit, as everything is with these two. But the match will be good. If it is to be the last Shields match, and I mean, I still have my doubts Ambrose is leaving. I think it might end up being a work. But yeah, if this is what there's going to be billed as, they won't want it to be an absolute damp squib. I reckon this will go on last.
Yeah, I don't know about a work because they used his real name. You know what I mean? I don't know, just a little thing like that. Why throw out there his real name? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's an elaborate work, but I doubt it. I think just one of them things. But let's enjoy it anyway. If it's the last we see of the Shield for a couple of years or whatever, because I think him leaving is actually exactly what he needs.
Yeah, he does.
Go away for a year, 2 years, work on his character, work on developing himself, doing something different, a bit more, getting away from all the hokey stuff, get people excited about him again, and then
he could probably come back again.
The thing is, he could come back with perhaps a bit more power and a bit more creative control, you know. And I think then it sets up down the line, it sets up big matches that people will be really excited to see because they hadn't seen them for so long, and it's a different Dean Ambrose than the one before. So yeah, I think him leaving would actually be good for him anyway. So, and good for the company in the long run, providing they can get back together after a couple of years. But anyway, what about Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch then? Obviously, we've got the whole thing in here that if Becky wins, then she gets added to the Raw Women's Championship match at WrestleMania. And of course, Ronda Rousey is the champion again after they said that she'd vacated the title. But no, she didn't vacate the title. It was a bit weird. I suppose we had Ronda turning heel, so you could almost say it kind of makes sense. But I wasn't particularly a fan of that whole explanation thing. I don't know about you, Guy.
It was a bit weird, that whole thing.
Yeah, I put the title at your feet. No, I wasn't vacating it. I was just giving you a week to think about it.
Yeah,
wait, what?
It was just stupid, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, no damage done. It just makes Ronda look a bit stupid for a week. But I mean, they've used Twitter quite well this week. Obviously, Ronda threatening to murder people. Now she's turned heel, which isn't a surprise.
Well, we've seen that, haven't we, since, was it the Royal Rumble? Or I think it was the Royal Rumble, wasn't it? The fans are starting to turn, and I think they've just been smart enough to go, you know what, let's go with it.
Yeah. I think we always expected, as soon as the Becky Austin shit happened, like comparisons happened, we've always expected Ronda to kind of be that middle one between Charlotte, but I think they've just kind of went, nah, you just go beat the shit out of people now. And I think it'll work really well. To be fair, it'll make it more interesting. I know Ronda's had a good few matches. I mean, the Sasha one at Royal Rumble was very, very good. And now you can kind of have character development, because now she can just not talk in really, really, really long sentences and be a bit confusing. Now she can just be quiet, beat the shit out of people. I think it looks like they changed the gear as well, hopefully. And it might look a bit better. But yeah, changing her heel, it'll just grow Becky Lynch's star power a fair bit. And yeah, I think if Ronda's rumored, obviously rumored to go away for a bit after WrestleMania, I think it'll work even better as a heel that way, and then she can come back and just batter whoever's on top at the time. But in terms of this match, I think we all know that Becky's going to win, because if Charlotte wins clean, I imagine a lot of people will be put off for WrestleMania. But, I mean, what do you make of this whole injury gimmick? Obviously, it's kayfabe and it's not real, but do you think it's gone on a bit too long? Because it's kind of limited what they're going to actually do in terms of the build. I know there's still, what, another four, 5 weeks, 6 weeks left?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't know. It's a difficult one. In some ways it has, but then other ways it's like, well, you know, knee injuries don't just heal up in a couple of weeks. So you could say that they're at least showing some continuity for the first time in I don't know how long.
75 years.
You know, it's just this, I feel like Charlotte's become kind of, you know, the third person in all of this. Even though she's the one supposed to be having the match with Ronda, it's almost like she's the gooseberry in this whole situation, because people aren't really that interested. She took on the, you know, she turned heel, which suits her much better, because I really don't think she's very good at babyface at all. I think her babyface promos are terrible. A heel, she's much more natural. I'm not even liking her heel promos at the moment, to be quite honest with you. And I just feel as though that she's kind of being pushed to the side, that people aren't really that interested. So we've got Ronda as a heel as well. And it's, I don't know, she is the odd one out in all of this. And it just seems, when they put this stipulation in, it makes it look so obvious that Becky Lynch will win, that it makes me wonder then, are they going to pull a swerve here? And that Charlotte goes over in some way, perhaps in a dubious manner. And that's how we, you know, how Becky comes back from that. Or do we just have a schmoz finish? You know, Ronda comes out, gets involved, and then we end up getting it anyway. You know what I mean? Because the stipulation does seem to make it too predictable, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. And obviously Stephanie pretty much going, well, it's going to be a triple threat match at WrestleMania, or not.
Or it could be a singles match.
Like five seconds later.
Yeah. Oops,
shit.
We're on live TV.
But yeah, it's almost too obvious, and that's a dangerous point at any storyline for WWE, because they love, unless it's like prime John Cena, they don't really do the obvious point proving Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman not winning the title off Brock for like an extra year. But I mean there's too much of a fanfare behind Becky Lynch now. I think she'll obviously get added to the match at WrestleMania one way or another, and I think the way that Ronda, so many names, Andy. The way Ronda obviously battered Becky the other day, I think you can just, if they make this a no contest, and then you can do it that way.
That's an interesting one, yeah, because they're playing up the injury angle. But then it all puts it into doubt then. Is that just the way that they can, you know, they draw this out for a few more weeks before finally adding Becky to the match, you know, just to really get the fans charged up so much that we wait, you know, we don't get confirmation until maybe the week before WrestleMania that Becky's actually added to the match, you know?
That'd be brave.
You just think about the fan reaction, though, because that's what they're looking for, isn't it? They don't want it to go stale. So you can imagine how charged up the fans are going to be. If, you know, like you said, no contest. Now, that's an interesting one. That's something I could see in there as well. You know, like you say, playing up the whole injury angle. That's a possibility. But I can definitely see Ronda getting involved and having some kind of a no contest. And again, you know, we've got the whole doubts over Becky even being able to physically be fit enough to take part in a match at WrestleMania. So, yeah, I don't know. I can almost see it, because it does look too obvious. The stipulation just makes it too obvious that you can't just be handed it that easily.
And if Becky goes over clean while she's apparently can't walk, which that's kind of loosely the term now, but obviously if she beats Charlotte clean, she can't walk. I mean, she's been beating Charlotte since SummerSlam clean every time, really. It really begs the question why the hell Charlotte's in that match.
Yes.
So I think, I mean, this might be a bit obscure, but if you remember when Brock Lesnar interfered in Hell in a Cell, and I don't know why that match ended in no contest, that's pretty much the end that I'm thinking, minus the Cell. So I'm just imagining they'll have 10-15 minute match, play on the injury for ages, then referee or something will get knocked down, and then Ronda will just come kick the crap out of both of them. And then the announcement on Raw the next week. Maybe a bit longer.
I can definitely see that, but I kind of like the whole sort of
lead to a
Charlotte
match
beating
two
her
before.
So much. Beating her so much that the referee calls a no contest, and Becky's arguing the ref, no, I want to go. And it just adds to the whole, like you say, you know, what's the point of Charlotte being there? Well, if she looks bad and she's got that, and everybody's just, you've got the whole babyface, the sympathy thing, isn't it? Everyone's getting behind Charlotte. Everyone's getting behind Becky. They just want her in that match. So it just adds more to it and really gets the fans worked up even more. And then they can, like I said, they can stretch it out for a few more weeks. So, yeah, I don't know about you, but I just don't think we're going to get the obvious finish that the stipulation kind of points to.
Yeah. I mean, as we've been saying, you just simply can't have Charlotte losing clean to a one-legged woman and then legitimately have her in the title picture of WrestleMania and just going, well, yeah, she's been given it. It's like, well, no. I mean, Charlotte would probably end up winning the match at WrestleMania if that was the case. Not in WWE, but yeah.
One-legged woman in a last-kicking contest. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Oh, God.
Kaboom!
That's worse than the fucking tag games again.
Right. Before we move on, one final thing then. Did you hear, though, at the end of Raw, as after they'd done that Stephanie McMahon interview, they went back to the ring with Ronda there, stood on the table.
Yes, yes.
And you could hear someone on the crew shouting, "Hold up the title, Ronda! Ronda, hold up the title!" Then she also is like, "Oh my God, am I watching a John Cena match?"
Oh dear, yeah, that was quite funny. I saw that on the Matthew from Botchamania's Twitter. Actually, it was brilliant. That
yeah. I love how that was audible.
Oh no, he must have been shouting that pretty damn loud. You probably expect Michael Cole or someone to do that quite subtly. No,
hey,
that's the one shouting.
Oh dear me. Right, final match of the night then. The WWE Championship. We have the rushed return of Kevin Owens against Daniel Bryan. Kevin Owens as a babyface, I think it can work. I mean, he's been using the stunner, which was fun anyway, but I felt like he was starting to get into his groove a bit with his promo on SmackDown. But I didn't like the way that he was brought into this. For me, it just, you know, the fans were so still into Kofi that it just made Kevin Owens' return just like almost like a nothing.
Yeah, that's the big sticking point for me, really. Obviously, they were doing all those videos and stuff about Kevin Owens coming back in about a month, and then he just rolls up the next week. Whacked in a title match with, I mean, I think we used the term magic in the bottle last time with Kofi. And that's what it is. And it's not negative. Well, it possibly is negatively affecting Kevin Owens, but it's not helping Kevin Owens come over as a face. And they kind of are trying to force that down our throats, obviously giving him the most popular move in wrestling history as well. It's a bit weird. The fact that they didn't make it a triple threat match, maybe that's what they're building towards WrestleMania. I suppose it's just not been great having a pay-per-view that was 2 weeks after another pay-per-view, I suppose.
Yeah. I did like the bit where he's, you know, like in the bottom line, wink, wink. I love that. I think he can work as a babyface, yes, but I just think as it has got to be a short term thing. It almost like when he first arrived in NXT, it was a babyface reaction. He played up to that, and then we got the turn.
That was one show.
Yeah, but you know, well, there was like the little bits leading up to it on TV for a couple, only like a week or 2 weeks. But it's, you know what I mean. I think you can get it from him for a short period of time because fans love him anyway, and he's just so naturally funny. He's so good on the mic. It's just as long as it's done for a short period of time, and then he can turn, and then he can have his fun as well. But this, for me, doing this match, for me, just says that we are getting Kofi Kingston at WrestleMania against Daniel Bryan. But is it them two in a one-on-one match, or do we also have KO in there as a triple threat?
I think you have to have KO in there as a triple threat, because if it's one-on-one, if it's 1v1 with Kofi, I mean, we're kind of back in the realms of too obvious. If it's one-on-one, I think they'll try and make a historic moment of Kofi winning it. And they could obviously still do that with a triple threat match, but it just makes you think about it a bit. And it's a bit of a strange one, isn't it? I mean, I think we both kind of agreed we're not the biggest Kofi fans, and New Day's kind of gone stale for us both. And having them in doing the India tour this week to not be on TV, I think it's just kind of trying to get them out of the way for a little bit to try and actually get Kevin Owens' feet back under the desk, really. But I hope it's a triple threat, because if it's Kofi v Daniel Bryan, I just won't really enjoy it. I'm already running out of reasons to watch SmackDown. You know, it's
Samoa Joe, yes, is the new United States champion.
We called it, didn't we?
Yes,
we did.
I popped when the Revival won the tag titles. I popped when Joe won that title. Let him do good things with this title.
Yeah, that title really needs a legit champion as well. And if they do it right and let him be a horrible bastard that he is, or seemingly is, or characterizes.
Just let Joe have his NXT title run, where he was just aggressive, nasty, vindictive, vicious, and a monster. Let him be a monster champion. It'll be lots of fun because he's brilliant on the mic. He's a brilliant heel. But Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, anyway, back onto this. Mm-hmm. I can't see the title changing hands. Can you?
I can. Just to confirm the triple threat.
Get a dodgy. Interesting.
If we get Kofi costing one of them, I'm not saying he's costing Bryan or KO, it builds up to it. But I think I'm not going to say we're going to see KO win, but I think it'd be a good way of legitimizing it. And if you have, because Kofi said on that video that he's going to be at Fastlane, I think it'll have a dodgy finish one way or the other, but I think they will start building towards the triple threat, because if KO goes from title challenger to nothing, what's the point? He's just going to be left stranded at WrestleMania season.
Yeah, his big return was a two-week run.
I mean, SmackDown's looking pretty obvious in terms of what they're going to be doing. I mean, Randy Orton v. AJ, Joe v. we guessed Ali, but they could add loads of people to that, I suppose. Build on this Andrade Rey thing, and there's not really anyone else for KO to work with there, is there? So I think you have to have it logically, but that's a worry. Logically with WWE doesn't work, but yeah, I think triple threat at WrestleMania, it'd be interesting, and it'd probably make the Kofi Kingston moment bigger. And hopefully, I know Kofi's not exactly a new star, but then you won't have to rely on Daniel Bryan, who you'd probably deem somewhat of an old guard and not a new star, if you get what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, well, overall, Lord, I know we're not overly enthusiastic about it, but
half of it's going to be awful.
yeah, there's going to be some bad stuff.
Yes.
But there's going to be some good stuff, and there should be some fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think more than anything, guys, because we're getting close to WrestleMania, I think it's more about the intrigue and the interest of just how, you know, where they're going to go and how they're going to play out with two or three things.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, this pod sums it up. We've not really spent any time talking about the matches. We're talking about the effect of the result of matches that come into the biggest show of the year.
So, yeah. That's what it's all about at the moment, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this pay-per-view could have been a couple of weeks down the line, I suppose. Probably had a better story. This isn't about stories. This is building a story for the next 5-6 weeks, isn't it?
Exactly. Whatever does happen, folks, we will be back here next week to run it all down. When I say run it all down, I mean, you know, look back on it, I should say. If it's terrible, we'll certainly run it down. We'll run it down in our car on the fast lane to WrestleMania. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, I think that's quite enough from us and my terrible jokes. I don't think we've missed anything, have we, Guy?
No, we just crammed in that Samoa Joe stuff right at the end there.
Yay!
Perfectly done. But yeah, we've pretty much covered everything, I think.
Yeah. So at @PW_index is, of course, our Twitter handle. Do get involved with us on there. We like it getting in contact with us and sharing your thoughts and doing all that stuff. But anyway, from myself and Guy, it's very much a big thank you to each and every one of you for listening each and every week. We do appreciate it. So, like I said, we'll be back next week to look back on the Fastlane. But for now, from myself and Guy, this has been your Pro Wrestling Index, episode 119. So until next week, bye-bye now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.